Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by the company Doctors. I'm Eileen Freyer, along with the president and CEO, Randy McKinley. Today, we've delivered 53 successful business turnarounds and counting. Our senior team has a combined 115 years of hands-on business expertise and includes a PhD, a marketing expert, IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and Randy, a turnaround guru with more than 25 years of hands-on experience with Fortune 100 companies right down to mom and pops. In this podcast, we're going to turn on the bright lights and shine it on the exam room table to take a closer look at an innovative approach aimed at reducing food waste and helping to end hunger. One of the key players, the food industry. Mike Liarakis is the executive director of Abound Food Care. He's worked in the food service industry for 30 years, and through this pandemic, he managed to keep the doors open at his place, Catella Grill and Catering, and is helping those in need to put food on the table.
So, Mike, your background is actually in the food service industry, and your family has been in the restaurant business for generations. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm a third-generation restaurateur. So my grandfather was a chef in Chicago. My dad was a chef and also a restaurant chain executive, so he helped build restaurant chains. And he didn't want his boys to stay in the restaurant business. So he wanted us to work in restaurants in high school and college, get the experience, those intangibles, and then get the heck out of the business. But I gravitated back to it. I stayed in the food industry, and then, you know, in distribution and manufacturing, processing. But then, you know, 30 years ago, bought another restaurant and have stayed in it ever since. So we've, it's in my blood.
And then the pandemic hits. How did that affect your restaurant?
Yeah, boy, you know, the whole industry pretty much shut down to a large extent. For our specific restaurant, we're in an entertainment area of Anaheim, near Disneyland, near, you know, Angel Stadium and a Honda Center, you know, arena. So we were heavily reliant on entertainment. And of course, entertainment and tourism came to a grinding halt. So we were left trying to, you know, keep the doors open. We found innovative ways of doing it. One way we kept the doors open was to provide vacuum sealed, ready to heat and eat nutritious meals for the County of Orange as part of their emergency food management program. And we utilized recovered excess food to do this work. It allowed our staff to keep working and provided a good for the neighborhood and the community.
Innovative idea. Can you talk a little more about it? How does that work? How does that process work?
Sure. So through our work in food recovery, we know where the food is at, so to speak. We had all this food, this bulk food in distributors coming from processors and manufacturers. So much like us, their customer base, restaurants, hotels, et cetera, you know, they didn't have a reason or a way to move food. They had all this excess food there. So we would recover that food from distribution centers, get it to a network of food repurposing kitchens, including our restaurant, and then our staff would create meals with it. And that would be used for the emergency food supply.
Is that scalable across the United States?
It really is. You know, the ability, if an operator, a restaurant has the ability to produce food, do it safely, and be able to package that food, extend the shelf life, then they have the ability to create emergency food. We've taken it one step further, and we started creating what we call medically tailored meals, which is food that is that takes into account dietary restrictions or dietary requirements for someone who has a medical condition. So specific to us, when a patient is finds themselves food insecure, meaning they go without, they don't have the resources to acquire the food that they need, the nutritious food, then we can provide them with that food. So it keeps them on track with their dietary requirements. It keeps them from falling off the nutrition wagon, so to speak. And we see that there's a health benefit on the backside of that, specifically with elderly people who have coronary heart issues, sodium issues. This keeps them from having to receive emergency food that is non-perishable loaded with sodium. So it's a healthier way to feed them, and it translates into a cost benefit for healthcare providers.
Well, and I would assume this is fresh versus frozen. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Although the meals are frozen. So what we'll do is produce this food, vacuum seal it, blast freeze it, and now it's ready. And for logistically, it's easier to move food around when it's frozen. Also has the ability to last up to a year if that product is frozen.
But it's nice that you were able to take a negative situation and turn it into a positive. But, you know, I've talked about, you know, it was a tragic situation in the restaurant industry, huge impact, and now you're able to spin it around and say, hey, you know what, we can actually do something good with it.
Yeah, you know, we're really lucky. So the restaurant industry in general, they tend to be very resilient. So we had two options, you know, when faced with an emergency situation. The one comforting element of that was we were all in the same boat. So we had to look for creative ways of surviving, adapting, but also if you can feed your community or serve your community, then it's an added benefit. It's the best of both worlds and it becomes a win-win.
Absolutely. Let's take a step back a second. How great is the need for people to put food on the table?
You know, the statistics have been pretty startling. So prior to COVID, 1 in 7 individuals on average found themselves to be food insecure at some point. During COVID, that dropped to 1 in 4. But then when you work with food distributions as we have done, and you're out there feeding the community, you see the actual case, the visual of, and there's so many of them, but we've had people who clearly had never been food insecure before. They were experiencing it for the first time. But we saw some startling examples. One distribution was in my neighborhood and I'm wearing, you know, a hat, sunglasses, and of course a mask. Nobody recognized me, but I saw my neighbors in line. And this isn't a financial tool for them. This wasn't, clipping coupons. This was desperation. They were there because they had been, you know, they hadn't been working. They were hungry. In other cases, we saw a woman, you know, she drives up in a BMW and she's in tears. And she's not there because she wants to stand in line for 45 minutes burning gas to accept food. She was crying because, and she wanted to get out of line. She was asking me, how do I get out of here? I don't belong here. And I'm saying, why don't you belong here? Anybody is welcome. If you have a need. And talking to her, she hadn't, you know, been able to feed her family, or she had fed her family, but she herself had not eaten anything more than crackers for 2 days. You know, that point of desperation put her in that line for food, but she was ashamed to be there. And after talking to her for 10, 15 minutes, you know, here, I got to give this food out. So why don't you go ahead and take it? If you don't want it, you know, we can give it to somebody else. And she was happy to receive it because there was a need. But we saw that real world experience of how it affects people.
Now we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, how Mike first got involved with Abound Food Care. It was a chance encounter after recovering from a potentially deadly virus nearly a decade ago. That's coming up after this.
This podcast is in support of the nonprofit AboundFoodCare.org. The mission of capturing food to feed the hungry across America and helping protect our environment go hand in hand. In 2020 alone, they repurposed 23 million pounds of food, which equaled 19 million meals and saved 20,000 metric tons of CO2 emissions for the environment. But there is so much more that can be done and needs to be done across America. Whether you are ready to discuss real solutions, need more information, want to give money, want to donate food, or even volunteer, you need to talk to Abound Food Care. You can make a difference by joining the food care movement. Go to aboundfoodcare.org, select Join the Movement from the menu, and let's stop unnecessary hunger, which will help protect our planet. Better profits, reduce taxes, increase cash flow. Do you wish you could get results like that? Well, you can. Today, we have helped 68 companies and counting make more money with our bookkeeping and accounting services and best practices. How do we do it? Simple. We're a team of business professionals who have run businesses. We are certified professional bookkeepers, which is rare, and business accountants. We use our proprietary tools to get a 360-degree view of your business, to find ways, cut costs while making your books easy to understand, plus government and bank ready at all times. Add in secure virtual platforms, key technology. We can execute all parts of bookkeeping and accounting seamlessly anywhere. And we give you access to our complete library of critical business competency courses free of charge. As you can see, we are the next level in bookkeeping and accounting for small and mid-sized businesses. If you have part-time bookkeeping and accounting or full-time or something in the middle, give us a call and do a comparison before you hire another employee or a bookkeeper down the street. Schedule your complimentary business review by visiting thecompanydoctors.com. thecompanydrs.com. Click on Bookkeeper, and then there's Appointment Scheduler, and let's get your company the real value it deserves today, because you'll be shocked how inexpensive quality bookkeeping and accounting can be for you.
Over the last 4 years in Orange County, more than 50 million pounds of food has been recovered that would have ended up in landfills if it weren't for Abound Food Care, formerly known as Waste Not OC. Mike started as a volunteer nearly a decade ago after a touch of serendipity.
It's an interesting story. Years ago, I had West Nile virus and was the miraculous comeback. Wasn't supposed to make it, wasn't supposed to be functional, but was very fortunate. The county of Orange started tracking me like an endangered species, and I had to go for a follow-up visit at a trailer, at a healthcare agency trailer in Santa Ana. Like, I'm not going. I feel good. I'll be fine. I'm not doing this. In the meantime, we started preparing food for the local senior center. This is back when government sequestration's cut hit and there was a budget crisis. So myself and another restaurateur started making food. And I called up one of my buddies at the health department. I said, look, we'll do the work. And I know where the food's at. Am I allowed to do that? And he goes, Mike, there's something you need to be aware of. The public health officer has started this effort to recover excess food and get it to nonprofit agencies. You should really go to the next meeting. And I saw the address, and it was the trailer that it was adjoining the trailer I was supposed to go to for my West Nile follow-up. So I thought, I'll kill two birds with one stone. I'll get them both off my back and I'll go. And that is where I met Dr. Handler, former public health officer for Orange County. That's where I learned about this effort. And it was, just born on the premise of we waste 40% of all food that is produced in the U.S. If we could recapture that food and divert it to people who are food insecure, we can, in theory, end hunger. And that's kind of how I got started with it as a volunteer 8-9 years ago.
There's a lot of food that was wasted, prior to the pandemic. And you mentioned 40%. Do you see that trend dropping now? Has it dropped?
No, we definitely see that trend dropping for a variety of reasons. One reason is because of the work that we've done, where we have provided an avenue for the safe donation of food, protecting public safety, and also the brand of the donor, which is huge. But also sustainability has become an issue. It's something that companies realize that, especially food companies, food is money to them, much like it was to me. So the ability to be more efficient, waste less food, provides them with the cost benefit. So companies are becoming more in tune to it. They're looking at their processes, their procedures, the way they conduct business. And if they're able to eliminate food waste, there's a financial benefit to them.
Getting into that restaurant world, because there's the marriage between atmosphere, the ambience and what you're serving, fresh and how you put that mix together. With COVID, you can see everything's really moved to more of a takeout. And when it's coming, as things come back, how do you see that marriage, how restaurants are going to be dealing with that? Because are people going to be comfortable going back in and sitting down in a restaurant in that close confined space?
I think that's still the big question, is what is the long-term effects of COVID on consumer trends? How's that going to affect, various businesses, including restaurants? Is third-party delivery here to stay? Is takeout and delivery here to stay? Are people going to be anxious to get back inside of a restaurant, have that social interaction? I think probably it's a little of everything. I think people are certainly more comfortable with having food delivered to their home. I think we got better at delivering it to their home and maintaining the quality. By the same token, I still think people want to go out. I think for our industry, it's also solved a problem. Depends on the marketplace you're in. For me, being in Southern California, where costs have gone up because of the cost of property, land, and labor, it's totally flipped. 30 years ago, your cost center was your kitchen. Your profit center was the seating area. You built restaurants based on how many people could I seat. And then I took the minimum amount of space for food production. Well, now it's the other way around. The cost center is the seating area because I need to have servers. I have to, take up more space that's technically wasted. Whereas my kitchen is the profit center because I can do takeout. I can do delivery. I can do catering. I can do meal production for home meal replacement. I now want a larger footprint in the back of the house, the kitchen, because that's what makes me money. I want a smaller footprint out front because those old days of opening the doors and hoping people come in are long gone. It's a more targeted approach.
We want to talk a little bit more about what began as Waste Not OC and how can you explain how does that public-private partnership actually work?
Yeah, absolutely. It was, it started as an effort on my part to just not waste food. Because as we said, I'm third generation. All I have ever had in life has come from food. So I treat it like money because that's what it is. I hated wasting food. So I got involved just because I wanted to be able to donate excess food rather than, toss it, throw it away. And the staff can only eat so much. What I realized is when we started a donation program, a log, I realized I'm in bed when our restaurant closed. I mean, I really didn't see what we were throwing away. I look at the numbers. I look at my food costs. If it's in an acceptable range, it's all good. But what we realized from looking at what we're actually donating is that it was the same product every night. It was a certain amount of mashed potatoes, a certain amount of salad, a certain amount of this. Even I could figure out we could make adjustments in our production. We could change how we produce food, how we were purchasing food, and there was a bottom line benefit to me. And so that's kind of how we got started with this idea, running it out there there to see if that cost benefit would translate to other restaurant operations.
Grocery stores as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's anybody, any entity that has food and is permitted to have food. So it could be a distributor, a processor, a manufacturer, a grower, farmers, jails, schools, any entity that has food will likely have at some point excess food. Mm-hmm. And again, no one likes to waste it. If we asked, and for going back many years, if you ask someone why they did a restaurateur or a food company, why they didn't donate food, they'd always tell you fear of liability. Well, we have federal Good Samaritan laws on the books that protect us from liability. So it was, you know, in reality, that was the reason we used to get people to go away and leave us alone. When in reality, the real answer was brand protection as well. I didn't want food that I donated to go to a local soup pantry or food bank or nonprofit agency because they're heavily reliant on volunteers. And if they don't have enough staff, then they didn't know how to handle my food. They either threw it away. So we just traded dumpsters basically, or we ran the risk of that food being handled improperly, somebody getting sick and it being traced back to me. I had one of our first partners, the Angels baseball, went to them and I asked them to participate. And of course they were all in. Yeah. The idea of feeding hungry. Absolutely. And they came back just to go, hey, sorry, we can't do that. We really can't afford to have someone get sick on a hot dog with an Angels baseball wrapper. Brilliant comment. Right away, we realized, you know what? Why aren't we handling this recovered food the same way we handle food in the food industry? And that's how we started bringing this public, private, and nonprofit coalition together to realize there's a lot of gaps in food recovery and edible food donation. So let's fill those gaps using every means needed. We really needed to handle food safely. So we needed to train people. We needed to provide them with the equipment and resources they needed to transport food and to serve food safely.
That makes a lot of sense. Because if you go back, I think this public-private partnership is needed, because I remember in my days at ISCA, I was one of the largest donators of, you know, snack products to the food bank. But there was two problems with that, and where we had to go back and start to readdress was, number one, some of that product was moving over into your slot meats and being sold and going to the consumers. And that wasn't the intent. We wanted to go feed all these people. The product was good. We just damaged the box and we couldn't go sell it in the retail. And so stuff was moving out. So we had to go back and was like, how do we want to go help, but we're turning around and we're absorbing the liability. We had to start pulling that back. I think what you're talking about, this is so important, because there's just little gaps in the law that causes so many people not to step forward when they could.
Absolutely right. And you hit it right on the head. So 30 years ago, I was a poultry processor and I would have so much food available from time to time. So, because it's a perishable item. So a great example would be, maybe there's a production error. I made turkey breast and there's a production error and I have now a label on that product, and maybe I have 5 pallets. So I have hundreds of cases of product. All of them have the wrong label on it. It's already been shipped out. Well, I'm a USDA inspected facility. I can't bring that product back into my facility. It's gone. I don't want that product to stay in my marketplace because not my brand name is attached to that. So what we do is help optimize the food supply chain. We help direct that excess available food. First of all, can it be sold somewhere? Can an entity recover some of that loss by selling it out of market where the brand names are relevant? And that's where, in the old days, Las Vegas was great for that. Anything that you didn't want your label on, you could always send it to Las Vegas and it made its way onto a buffet line. So you got pennies on the dollar. But the point is, most companies would rather donate that, take a tax deduction and feed hungry people and be a benefit to the community. Our job is to move that product safely and keep track of it for food safety purposes. And also, as you mentioned, to make sure it doesn't fall into nefarious hands where it ultimately is sold in a black market style.
Is food recovery really simple then?
No. So, you know, it started as this simple premise of just doing the math, you know, X amount is wasted, X amount of people are hungry if we could recover it. But the reality is that when a donor donates food, not all of that food can go to one recipient. And we have different levels. So large quantities, pallets, that goes to food banks. Food banks are the best at moving pallets in, pallets out. There's really distribution centers. Smaller quantities of food have to go through these nonprofit network of agencies, of churches, senior centers, after school programs, et cetera. Getting them all on the same page, connecting them is the challenge. And being able to get that food to them, also a challenge. Not all of it can go to one recipient agency. And then again, from day to day, their capacity changes. On one day, a church who does daily lunch distributions might have 25 volunteers. They're loaded. They can handle everything. The next day, they might have 4 volunteers. They can't take that food you send them because they don't have anybody to sort through it or put it away, or it's going to sit out in a parking lot. It won't be handled safely. So our role is really to work collaboratively with food banks, with these nonprofit agencies, with the public sector to be able to, you know, move food effectively and efficiently and make sure it isn't wasted.
Now, with so many businesses that are suffering amid the pandemic, how challenging has it been lately to get businesses to donate food?
So initially, when the lockdown happened, restaurants, hotels, groceries, they all had food, perishable food. We were running all hours of day and night, picking up food, getting it to nonprofit agencies. At the same time, food banks were loading up on food because that was their role, was to feed these people with emergency food. Well, the next step was distribution centers, full-line distributors, have internal controls that require them to move food out of their warehouse with a certain amount of life left on the product before it's manufactured, suggested sell-by. In other words, a distributor can't sell a restaurant a case of something that expires tomorrow. It's got to have a couple weeks on it. So their internal controls would have them move that out. So our next step was we were receiving just a plethora of large-scale donations, pallets and truckloads of product. Oftentimes we couldn't receive it because we lacked the, you know, the cold storage capability. The next step or the next phase was now we start getting supply shortages. So we don't have restaurants operating, or we have them operating at half speed, and there's, you know, the excess food from distributors in the pipeline and the supply chain has been exhausted, and that's where we started running short on food. The final wave was restaurants that were just closing up, and we knew when they were closing because we would get the phone call to come and pick up all their dry goods, all of their non-perishable food. And that's when you knew they were done. They weren't coming back. Now that restaurants are starting to reopen, and as you know, in California and most of the areas of the country, you know, we saw an opening and a close, and then an opening and then a close. So we saw similar waves of available food. Right now with restaurants opening again, you know, there's still excess food out there because we just don't know, are people coming back in droves? So we are still doing the same amount of work. In Orange County again alone, last year, our coalition of partners recovered nearly 25 million pounds of food during COVID. And that is a 10% increase over the year before. So even in a COVID environment with shutdown of the food industry, there was still excess food out there.
Now, you started as a volunteer and then became the executive director of Waste Not OC, which has now been rebranded as Abound Food Care. And why that rebranding?
We realized that this model can be, you know, used anywhere, but we were kind of limited because our name was, you know, primarily had Orange County in it. It was Waste Not OC. So as we started to work with other counties, other jurisdictions, other areas of the country, you know, they thought we were just limited to Orange County. When in reality, this works as a system-wide solution because anywhere where you ship food, you have the ability to recover excess edible food using this model. So that's why we changed the name Abound, just fit for us, because we know there's a boundless amount of food. We know there's a boundless amount of resources. We also know there's a boundless amount of complications and challenges, but our model kind of overcomes that.
Give a little more detail. What makes this model so special and why does it work everywhere? If you had to go put it in a nutshell.
It works everywhere because it's utilizing local resources. The model works because for decades, these efforts were always done with a perspective or a view of either the nonprofit sector, meaning, you know, charitable contributions, or it was done by the public sector. The reality is that everybody ignored the food industry. Nobody asked us, how can we donate, you know, what do you need in order to donate food? So we've really taken the approach as a food industry person of, look, we know where the food's at. Let's create this model that will assuage the fears and concerns of the food industry and give them a cost benefit to being able to donate. Could be providing them with a tax deduction for a charitable donation, and it could be identifying an opportunity to right-size their operation and make production or operational changes. It also works in urban areas and rural areas.
How can people get involved and help? What can they do?
So champions come from everywhere. The most amazing part of this journey for me has been just how and where people come from and the happenstance and the, you know, whether it's karma, whether it's fate, whatever we call it, people come from nowhere and they don't think they have any way of assisting. And sure enough, they end up knowing somebody who's in the food industry, or they know somebody who is, has a technology company that assists with software that can help. Anybody who wants to feed more people and reduce food waste, you can go to aboundfoodcare.org, see our website, you'll see what we do. And then sometimes it's just a phone call to determine, you know, where's your passion? How can you help? What's your, you know, what can you do? And it's just shocking to me how many people have come to us and have benefited this bigger mission and vision of feeding people with excess edible food.
Such a pleasure talking with you. We so appreciate it.
I really appreciate you having me and letting me talk about it. It means the world to us to get the word out and let people know that there's a way of ending hunger and also food waste. They just go hand in hand, and it is relatively cost effective to do it.
Mike Liorakis is the executive director of Abound Food Care. If you'd like to help out with your time, product, talent, or money, go to aboundfoodcare.org. Until next time, wishing good health to you, your family, and your business.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company, doctors, and you.